Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, and today we're talking to our woman on the scene in Toronto, that would be Hazel, about what's really happening in Ontario and the rest of Canada with the newly enacted adult legal cannabis use laws. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman, and welcome to another episode. This should be a fun one today. We're going to change things up a bit, as Kim will be asking me questions about legalization, as I'm the resident Canadian.
That's right. This is sure to be a fun topic, as cannabis is hot on everybody's minds. If you're new listeners, know that every once in a while we throw in a cannabis episode because our mobile wallet marketing platform, we use it both in the U.S. and Canada. It is compliant with the advertising laws in Canada. It's a perfect way to promote your cannabis products. We also assist in related products, branding, events, stuff like that.
Right. So take a listen to one of our most popular podcasts. That's episode 11, Ways Dispensaries Use Loyalty Passes and Mobile Coupons Inside Their Four Walls, and even go into ways to use proximity marketing for branded campaigns.
Right. So if you want to know more about how our platform works, that's a great episode. It's certainly not the first podcast where we've discussed cannabis legislation, especially not even specific to Canada. In episode 48, I think it was, we actually broke down Bill C-45, the Cannabis Act, and talked about how it was going through the legislature, how it was going to be policed, finding out whether or not the provinces could resist the federal oversight or if they really needed to get on board.
Right. And for our American listeners, cannabis marketing laws can vary widely by state. So in episode 44, we take a comprehensive look at the cannabis marketing laws on a state-by-state basis for U.S. cannabis producers, dispensary owners, delivery services, and auxiliary businesses.
So, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, our mobile ad platform works with cannabis businesses in a variety of different ways. And if you're not familiar with how mobile ad platforms work, or specifically mobile wallet platforms, you should either check out cannabiswallet.net or mobilewalletmarketer.com. So, anyway, let's get over to today's big topic. Have all of you Canadians gone to pot?
Yes, I'm sure, it seems like we have. Well, we haven't all gone to pot, and pot is not all gone either, as I'm sure that would probably be your next question.
Well, okay, so when I was on my way up here, every single bit of news that I saw about Canada was in regards to how you guys, in like 1 week's time, ran out of weed.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and you can see why. There was about like 100,000 orders in the first 24 hours in Ontario. While in BC, their online store saw over 9,100 orders and in the first 24 hours. And the one legal provincial store that's in the center of BC in Kamloops had 800 customers going through the door in one day.
Okay, so let me just take one quick second and ask you a question here. All right, so you live in Toronto, which is Ontario province.
Yes.
And you also mentioned BC, which is where Vancouver is for the people who are geographically challenged. So what you're telling me is that you can't technically walk into a store in Toronto that is regulated by the federal government and just go and buy cannabis products?
Not yet. We will be looking into that. They say in the spring, in April of 2019, there will have some provincial stores in Ontario, but right now it's all online orders.
Okay, perfect. So let's take another little hitch out here. So I know that there were many different ways that the Cannabis Act has kind of been implemented across different provinces. So tell us what we need to know about how, especially since you just said there's no stores, how do you actually get adult legal cannabis in Canada?
Through the mail. Really is how you get it. You have online orders, you order it online through the shopping cart. They take your order, and then the Postal Service delivers it.
Aren't you guys having a postal strike?
Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant? Yes, we are. That happened about a week after. Also, there are some stores in Alberta, have 14 stores across the province, mostly around Calgary and Edmonton.
Doesn't Newfoundland have some stores?
Yes, they do. Quebec has provincial stores, and
I beat you to the whole postal strike question, didn't I?
You did.
I see your note here. Make sure to mention postal strike and mail-in cannabis orders.
That's right.
Okay, so now how are the taxes working? I mean, is this affecting the pricing?
The prices have increased. I mean, you're also talking black market to, like, white market now. Right now, the government's taxation starts at about $1 per gram. The tax haul from cannabis, including the HST and excise taxes, could total up to $1 billion in a legalized market within 1 year. And we're talking that on about 400,000 kilograms. Now, Canopy Growth, the number one licensed producer in Canada, claims that they have 700 kilograms all ready to go.
Okay, so let me just put that in perspective.
Sure.
For people who are perhaps not as well versed in metric. So 400,000 kilograms at 2.2 pounds, that's roughly 1 million pounds.
Sure.
And 700,000, that's like 1.5 million pounds. And again, it's a pretty rough estimate.
They're not real figures that we can verify. That is what we're told.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know,
so when did this start?
October 17th.
Okay, so, but it didn't just jump up in the middle of October. And how did we get to where we are?
Okay, well, back, we have legislation that's been going on for the last couple of, well, really the last couple of years since Trudeau's been elected, because this is his baby taking cannabis legally. So the first announcement by the government came down back in February with a framework of cannabis packaging and promotion to get all the licensed producers started and prepared for October. So I wrote an article about that earlier in the year that details surrounding packaging and promotion. So be sure to check that out on cannabiswallet.net.
So do you think Trudeau smokes a lot of weed?
I don't think he smokes any.
Oh, okay. So back to the details on the packaging and the promotion. What does that include?
Well, okay, so let's start with what's banned. So that's marketing or incentivizing to youths. No public promotion, meaning you won't see any ads on TV or hear any ads on the radio. No testimonials, endorsements, depicts a person, character, or animal.
So we won't see any dead John Waynes or any camels.
Right, exactly. Just like that. What you can see is quite limiting. And our government wants to be sure that cannabis stays out of the hands of children.
Which is a great thing.
Absolutely. So these guidelines work with our mobile ad platform, making it compliant and making something that works on mobile, which is where everyone is now.
Okay, so can you really quickly tell me what packaging and labeling is allowed, since the Cannabis Act sort of ties all of this stuff together?
Sure. So packages would contain, a product description. They're very bland. A standard cannabis symbol, very small. Now, this isn't like a huge packaging. This goes right on the top of the package, making most of the packaging bland, as I mentioned. There's rotating health warnings, similar to those found like on the cigarette packages that you're getting in Canada.
I'm not getting them in Canada.
No, not you, but you get in Canada. And warning to keep out of the reach of children. And, they must be childproof. And there's also strict limits to the use of colors, graphics, and other special characteristics of packaging to curtail the appeal of products to the youth, which is an important consideration when applying what marketing is allowed.
Now, I also think that I read that the actual brand logo cannot be larger than the THC warning symbol on the packet.
That's right. Okay. That's right, which is actually very tiny. We're talking maybe a size of a nickel or a quarter.
Now, is that a requirement that it has to be that small? Yes. Or is it a requirement that it must be a certain... It can't be bigger or it can't be smaller
it
than...
It can't be bigger.
Okay, great. Wow. So yeah. Can you tell us, like, what actually is allowed?
So allowed information is a very specific brand. Preference promotions are sent directly over, if you're over the age of 18, by name, in places where young people are not allowed, or in telecommunications that can't be accessed by young people.
Okay, so you are lobbing me a softball here. Okay. Let's take a second and let's break this down into those three component parts.
Yes.
And then we'll go over the ways that it is actually possible to market and stay compliant within the guidelines.
Right.
Okay, so the first one I want to ask about is information or brand preference promotions sent directly to people over the age of 18 by name.
Right.
Now, when I look at this as a marketer, this means that if you have a mailing list or an SMS list or something that you have the actual person's first name, or is it first name, last name, or does it even...
Name.
So yeah. You know that Jane Doe likes...
product A.
Green Kush. Yeah. I don't even know. So you can then send Jane Doe a message that says, "Hi, Jane, we have a promotion on Green Kush today."
Yes.
To their inbox.
To their inbox. Exactly. That okay. is allowed.
All right. Gotcha.
The second is in places where young people aren't allowed. So in context, that would be a dispensary or a site that uses an age verification system. And for those who do not have a site, but don't have age verification in place, then email me and we'll get you squared away.
Right. And so specifically on our mobile ad platform, we have the ability before the advertising is installed to do an age check that passes the smell test, so to speak.
That's right. We do.
Okay, so now the last part of the statement is in telecommunications that cannot be accessed by young people. And specifically, I guess the question there is, what is considered reasonably not allowing young people to access a mobile device? Like if you have a 10-year-old who picks up your iPhone.
Right.
Are we going to presume they have your password, or are they going to? We going to presume that they're safe from seeing advertising unless you specifically let them use your phone after you unlock it? Is that kind of
right? Exactly. This is all new. We're not sure how everything is going to shake out, but as we see it today, you're absolutely right. So, you know, my son, he's young. He does not have access to my phone. My phone is locked. And I would have to unlock it if whenever he wants to use it.
Right. So I think on the track of, you know, campaigns, promotions, things like that, that could be used on mobile, especially, you know, thumbprint readers, face right. readers to unlock, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that kind of implies that, it doesn't kind of imply, I mean, in my opinion, it absolutely implies that in order to have any sort of, whether it's an online website or a mobile website or anything else, that you've got to be asking for age verification before you present any materials to a person. So they either have to give a birth date or they have to certify that they're over the age of 18, 19, 21, depending on where they are.
Depending on the province, it's 18 or 19. And yes, you're right in that. Yes.
Okay, so this looks like, you know, this really looks like it pushes the onus back onto like email marketing, mobile marketing, you know, I think on the act though, so 18 and under is absolutely a youth, a young person, no matter what.
Right. Right.
And when you look at social media sites like Facebook or Twitter or places like that, they have a minimum age requirement of 13. So I'm going to assume that for Facebook, Twitter, and other social media, even Instagram, which I know is super popular with cannabis marketers.
You cannot advertise there, no.
So if I'm an influencer, like I have a particular person in my mind that I'm thinking of, and
yeah, I know that person.
That person has a big Instagram account with like a million followers, and they go around and they post a lot of pictures of themselves out at cannabis events or cannabis products. How does that work in the scheme of somebody who's on Instagram only has to be 13 years old and they could see that?
They have the possibility of following that Instagrammer and seeing that they do. And really, there's not much that the government can do about that. Now, do you, like,
can the government say to Facebook or Twitter, you have to start policing?
We will find out how that goes.
Okay, so yeah, okay, like Instagram, you have to start policing that. So we could literally, we could see a whole new social network for cannabis people, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, so where does that leave us?
Yeah, so well, considering the choices are limited, there are options out there for brands, lifestyle sites, dispensaries to start thinking that mobile is the key to their marketing, and they're right.
Oh, one quick question. I hate to interrupt you, but sponsoring events and stuff like that.
Sponsoring events? It not really. Like, you can't really have... You can sponsor an event as long as it's no 18 and younger can't get in it. So, like a conference... You could do that, yes.
Okay, so you could do that, but you can't have, like, an event out in a park where kids could be walking by and just randomly come
out. Right, and even at a conference, it would have to be inside the walls. You couldn't say, hey, you know, this is my cannabis company out in the parking lot.
Got it. So there's a lot of opportunities there for proximity and location-based notifications.
That's what I'm getting at. Thanks so much, Kim. So there's... not just one solution that we offer, but multiple solutions with our mobile app platform. It does messaging, proximity marketing, and it works within the ACT's constraints.
Okay, so right now it looks like building and cultivating your own database, whether it is via mobile or via email, is really, at this moment, the most compliant way to structure your marketing within the confines of the ACT. So you can send mailers, you can send SMS messages, you know, you can do, you know, anything that's going to a locked mobile device.
Yes.
Okay, totally yes. Got it. So let's talk about another weird thing, because I have a ton of American people asking me, what stocks should I get into? What stocks should I get into?
Right.
Okay, well, you know, the vast majority of stocks that are cannabis related at the moment are Canadian. Like, let's take Canopy Growth. I know they got a big, big, big investment, billions of dollars from Corona, which is, Constellation Brands.
Constellation Brands, yeah.
Back in the summer. And, you know, there's talk of Coca-Cola and Pepsi and blah, 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 looking at Aurora and this one and that one. So how are the stock prices actually doing? Like, I suggested to people that they should sell and take their profits on the 16th. Because legalization was coming on the 17th, and it was really kind of not sure what was going to happen. So what's happened? Talk about that.
Well, you predicted correctly.
Because I always do.
stock prices prior to October 17th, even back as far as June, July, have just been rising and rising.
Oh, like that crazy Tilray thing.
Yes, yeah. And they've just been soaring. And once, you know, October 17th, 18th hit, they have sunk. They really have.
Which is kind of weird. Like, you knew it was going to happen, but the why of it is really kind of strange. Okay, so let's go to another interesting sort of facet of this whole thing. And that is, what is the federal government potentially going to do with people who have previous cannabis convictions for very minor level offenses?
Well, yeah. On the eve of legalization, I was at a ladies' event, And I was hearing all their stories of how cannabis has assisted in their daily lives. And that's where we all first heard that the government is going to pardon those convictions for minor marijuana offenses. Which is great, because those who did have that weren't able to visit the United States. And now, with these pardons being lifted, they will be able to.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point, though. How many of them tried to get into the United States with those convictions, got on the banned list?
Right.
And even though the convictions are expunged, I mean, that's a big dog and pony show to get the exemption, because they're technically still going to be banned. Even if the convictions are removed and expunged, they're still on a banned list.
Well, yes. It's a lot of paperwork, as you know. It's all bureaucracy now. It's filling out the paperwork to get pardons in Canada, taking it to the U.S., and
rolling the dice.
Rolling the dice, yeah.
Okay, so that particularly must be something that a lot of cannabis advocates, you know, like our attorney Rob Laurie, people like that, they must be thrilled about this.
Well, you think so, but a leading advocate, Jody Emery.
Oh, yes, she was just arrested last summer, her and her husband.
They always are. But they're saying it's not enough. She looks further to amnesty for everyone. She went on Twitter for legalization and said Canadians who are burdened with a conviction for something that is now perfectly legal deserve to have their records fully expunged. Why keep lists? And she further went on to say that cannabis legalization is a bittersweet landmark for gray market pioneers.
Really, I would call those people illegal drug dealers.
And the end of prohibition is seen as a big win for big business, law enforcement, and Justin Trudeau, and a slap in the face for those who pioneered legalization. And another insider in the industry claims that it's a day, October 17th is a day of celebration and a day of mourning.
Oh, because of the Gord Downie death a year before. Got it. So tell me how everyday life is different in Canada now with the legalization.
Well, there's been a huge blitz hitting the airwaves with MAD, Tweed, and Uber sponsoring campaigns to not get high and drive. Each household received a postcard from the government with what we should know about the Cannabis Act, and they have had a lot of educational ad campaigns on both the radio and TV. You know, you can't drive and get high.
Right. There's the signs all over the freeway.
Yes. Are all over
big
the freeway.
Lit up giant at night. I got to get some pictures of those before I leave.
And as you know, coming into Canada, one of the questions asked were,
are you bringing cannabis into Canada? Like, I got a big chuckle out of that, because I'm like, why would you bring sand to the beach? But now that we've talked through this, and it turns out that it isn't like, oh, you just go down to the Loblaws or the Shoppers Mart or whatever and pick up whatever it is that you want. It isn't even necessarily like there's all that much readily available legal product even here.
Right. You're absolutely right. So, yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
It's just life in Canada, eh? Okay, so these were super good answers. Totally appreciate you letting us kind of change up the format here. I'm sure that the listeners will love it. We'll keep everybody updated. So,
yeah, and thanks for listening. Remember, get a free copy of our ebook at cannabiswallet.net. It's inside is ways of how to grow your business to mobile marketing success. And listen to our other podcasts at dominoresearch.com/podcast and learn to use mobile marketing and tactics over at mobilewalletmarketer.com.
Awesome. So let's wrap it up.
Thanks for listening.